friends. I'm Darlene. I'm an alcoholic. It's a beautiful sunny day. What a better way to start the day than to come to a meeting. I just want to say I wish my friend Ron was here. He's been a big part of my recovery. So I just want to say good morning, Ron, and thank you, Christine, for asking me to speak. I'm going to talk a little later on a lot more from the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's what's changed my life. But I will start off with where I came from. I'd like to offer my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm going to go back a little bit as to where it started for me. So bear with me. I'm a little nervous this morning. I had to say my fear prayer, because one of my biggest fears is public speaking. So I'm told that to overcome, you know, the fears that I have, I have to face them. So here I am. At any rate, I was born in Ottawa into a family that adopted me. They couldn't have children. They didn't think they could have children. And so very loving family. My mother did have some mental health issues. She was agoraphobic, afraid of crowds, and so she could never leave the house. So my parents ended up having two of their own children 4 years later, and I didn't like that too much. You know, I was used to getting all the attention, and all of a sudden there's this like little brother I have, and it's their own child. So I didn't like that too much, and I think that's where I can remember just really acting out, and you know, I'm not getting enough attention, so I'm constantly going into these outbursts and just making life difficult for the family. As time went on, that family, the way I see it today is they are very different from me in terms of they are very calm, and I was always looking for excitement and the next thrill, and I was bored all the time. I felt that I didn't fit in, very shy, and I discovered alcohol at 15, and to me that was the solution, because I totally came out of my shell. And I could get a boyfriend, I was laughing all the time, it was exciting. So all those feelings, which I regard today as, you know, I was spiritually sick, so all those feelings I had of sadness and aloneness and all of this and that was cured. The solution was alcohol. So that was fun for the first couple of years, and then I kind of crossed that line, you know. I was nasty. All I can say about my alcoholism is I did bad things when I drank. And I lied, I cheated, I humiliated myself, I humiliated other people, I let down my family, and it was a painful place. I was always looking outside of myself for happiness. So I decided I'd get married. I met a guy who partied just like I did, and we got married, and we had a child. And thank God I didn't drink during my pregnancy. However, once my daughter was born, the drinking started up again. And so we got divorced pretty quickly after that, because I said to him, and of course everything was always everybody else's fault, like my whole life. And so I thought, well, I'm going to leave him with my daughter, and we're going to have a good life. So we got divorced, and the drinking continued. And I met another fellow shortly after him who was into partying, too. And I thought, well, this is the solution. I just need someone who, like, loves me enough, and we have fun together. So again, off I go. And this guy is just even crazier than I am when I drink. Like, he gets physical, right? So this isn't working out for me anymore. It's not fun anymore. So I say to him, he says to me, well, listen, if you weren't so obnoxious, I wouldn't hit you. So why don't you try to do something about your alcoholism? And I'm going to take you to a meeting that my ex-wife goes to. So I thought, okay, you know, anything to save the relationship. So off I went to this meeting, and I could not believe it. The woman that was speaking told my story. You can hear? Okay. She told my story, and I thought, oh my God. So all these years, I thought the way I was drinking, it's the only way I knew, I thought that was normal. So this lady's saying, no, it was crazy. That lifestyle is crazy. So I thought, wow, so there is another way. So I ended up telling my partner at the time, this drinking has to stop. I kind of like these AA people, and I want a new life. Can you join me? You know, so he says, well, I'm going to try to quit drinking. He says, but there's no promises. Well, he couldn't stop, and which is unfortunate. So we ended up breaking up, and AA did become my life at that time. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I wanted a good life for my daughter. I remember waking up and hearing the birds and laying on my couch, and she's playing on the ground, and I see the other mothers outside with their kids, you know. And I thought, this is no life for a five-year-old child. And so I continued with AA. And the women at that time taught me how to live sober, how to be a better mother. I came into recovery, I guess it was around 2005. And, 1995 is when I became sober. So just quickly, I was in for 15 years, and I went out three times. So three separate occasions, I decided that I was okay. Christine was talking about the insanity that someday, somehow, we'll be able to drink like normal drinkers. So during that 15-year period, a lot of good things happened. However, in the back of my mind, I was always thinking, I'm different from these people. Like, one day, I'm going to be able to drink again. So I did try on those three occasions, and I was very lucky. I came back the next day, went to a meeting, and admitted that, yeah, this is what I did, not good. So what happened to me is after the 15 years, so I'll just talk about that 15 years because I think it's important. There's a lot of recovery. There are a lot of people here with a lot of time that may not necessarily be happy. I was always living in the problem. I was continuously worrying, still looking outside of myself for the solution. So relationships, food, exercise, all sorts of stuff. And it never worked. I even went as far as competing, you know, in the physical fitness world, thinking, okay, well, if I can win and have the perfect figure, I'll then be happy. No. It was just sheer insanity. You know, I counted every calorie, everything that went in my mouth. It was complete obsession of exercise. And so what happened is I did relapse. This time I couldn't stop. So after 15 years, I could not stop drinking. It's like the disease had waited very patiently for me, and it was a bad time. You know, my daughter had never seen me drink. She couldn't believe it. Age 22, her mother's falling down drunk, walking out. I was missing work. I was going into detox centers, ending up in the hospital emergency department, suicidal attempts. That's what happened to me a couple of years ago. So there's only one solution now. Back to AA. I knew it. You know, I knew that that was the only place I was going to get better. So I ended up going to a treatment center for women, and it's called Amethyst, a very great treatment center. I had to look at things that And they say in the big book too, right? We can, the 12 steps are great, but it is okay to go for outside help. So I did seek that addictions counseling. I went into family of origin stuff, and I had to deal with abandonment issues that I had, which were really getting in the way of my life. And still do a little bit, you know, I have to really work on it. So that finished after a couple of years, but I was still really unhappy. I was still living in the problem. So that's when I met my sponsor. I was at a meeting, and I hear her talking in a meeting, a close discussion about the steps. Well, I had a lot of knowledge about the big book, and knowledge couldn't keep me sober, but I knew she knew what she was talking about because she was living it and I could see it. So I just latched on to her right away and I said, can you be my sponsor? So right away she's like, yeah, I'm going to walk right beside you. We're going to work through the steps. And that was the beginning of my happy journey, you know, like the amethyst was great, but I was still dying inside. I was stuck in what people did to me, how they hurt me, how they abandoned me, blah, blah, blah. And so Christine was going to show me how to actually live the steps. So step one for me is the problem. And the problem is my thinking, right? So my thinking is messed up. I think someday, somehow, I'll be able to drink again. I'm different from other people. I also have the double-edged sword. I have an allergy of the body and a mental obsession of the mind. So what that means is the spiritual malady starts first, where I'm restless, irritable, and discontented. And then the only way for me to get out of that is to take a drink or to go crazy, one or the other. So once I take that drink, the allergy kicks in and I can't stop. So then I'm, wow, that's a pretty dangerous place to be. So I'm told that step one is the problem, you know, and I have this delusion that I'm going to be normal again one day, and that has to be smashed. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I was ready to move on, definitely. I knew that I couldn't stay sober feeling sad anymore. I could not. I've already tried that for 15 years. So then we move on to step two, and I'm told that I need to find a power greater than myself. I remember that 15 years of sobriety that I had. I did believe in a creator, and I believe, but I didn't believe he could, I didn't want to give my life over to that power. I really, really didn't. I didn't trust it. I just thought, that's a little too extreme for me. So I'll give over my alcohol problem, but not my living problem. And really, the problem is not alcohol, right? It's, we have a living problem. So this time around, I'm told that, you know, I have to really come to believe that that power exists, and I need to be willing to turn everything over to him. I'm told that I can find my God in my heart. So I'm not told who God is, but I'm told where God is. According to the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 25, God is in our hearts. So that, for some reason, this time around, struck me like it was like lightning. Because I always had that little voice telling me, no, don't do it, and the head saying, yeah, do it. So this time, it's like, okay, you know, I always believed God was in my heart, but the thinking took over. So this time around, it's really sinking in. My answers are within me. They're not outside. They're not in overeating, starving myself, exercising like a maniac, looking for sex, looking for relationships. The answer is within me. So I move on to step three, and I'm turning everything over. So I'm told, there's a problem, there's a solution, and then I make a decision. And that applies to everything in my life today. You know, I've been having a lot of stressful, work's been toxic, and so it is affecting me. It's hard to be somewhere for 8 hours of a day and be just all, you know, people darting at you with such toxicity and trying to remain spiritual and positive and this and that. So, you know, I make little escapes to the bathroom and I say a prayer, or I'll, you know, do an email on Facebook, help. So I can't stay there. I need to move on to the solution, like, very quickly, because I know that it's not going to be good if I stay in the problem. So I've been putting out resumes to their facilities. I work at a hospital. I'm thinking of going back in the fitness industry, because fitness is positive and we're all looking for a healthier lifestyle, and it is my passion. However, I don't need to go overboard this time. So there are solutions out there. I'm just trying to figure it out. So we move on to step four with my sponsor, and she tells me I need to write down my resentments, my sex conduct, my fears, and my harms done to others. And I'm thinking, right on, finally I can tell her how, you know, so many people have hurt me. Like, she's going to really hear about this. Because it's bad. They hurt me. And so she tells me that just write something really brief, really brief. And I'm like, oh, well, gee, how do I sum up, like, you know, a lifetime in one sentence of wrongs? But anyway, I did it. And then it's the column. You need to go to the column where have you been selfish, dishonest, self-centered, and afraid? And in every instance, I was, you know, to my surprise. And it was a surprise. And so I did my fifth. What she did is she asked me, how did you react? So I had to explain where I was selfish in every instant. How did you react? Well, I was avoidant, indifferent, jealous, angry, bitter. And she was writing. I'm like, what are you writing? She says, well, I keep writing the ones that keep coming up. And so I'm okay, whatever. So I came to realize that I had a pattern throughout my life, and I still do today. I'm not saying I'm cured. It's a work in progress. But I really am aware of it today. And so what I came to realize about the resentments is that I cannot afford to be resentful anymore. I have to love you guys. That's what my sponsor told me. I don't like everybody. I don't want to love everybody, especially certain people in my workplace. But I'm told that if I resent somebody, I will go back out and drink. And I believe that to be true. I'm a walking example. So I need to say my resentment in prayer. I need to react with love. That's what I'm told. So that's how I try to live my life every day. I cannot afford, I don't like sitting in that feeling anymore. It, like, I think now it lasts maybe 20 minutes, or, you know, he did this, or he did that, and I don't like that, he blah blah, or she blah blah. And then it's like, oh no, I don't like that feeling. Okay, I'm gonna work on this. Okay, love, how can I love that person? So there's all this going on, right? So I'm in the process of change right now. So I'm told that after my five, we go right into six and seven, and she tells me, yep, she says, it's your reactions that have caused all of your problems. So any problem that I have today is of my own making, and that comes right from the big book. And I'm always like, but, and it's like, no buts, you know. Okay, so it's my reactions that cause me problems. So I have to pray for this stuff. It doesn't come naturally to me. I'm a fighter. I'm very stubborn. And I think that I know best, and I really don't. You know, it causes me a lot of trouble. So then we get into the amends part. And she says, okay, well, I want you to write down all your resentments there. And I was told only 25. I was only allowed to put 25, but I had hundreds. So she says, put down your resentments and your harms and all that on your harms done, because we're doing amends. But don't make any amends until we talk. So I couldn't wait. You know, I'm like, okay, we'll can't get together, you know, and 2 days from now. I was so eager this time, May. Like, I just could not wait. So I write down these amends. And for me today, well, she said to me, number one is you. You have to make amends to yourself. How do I make amends to myself? We need to react with love in every situation. And love yourself. And that's been the hardest thing to do. But it's working. It is so working. And my amends today are mostly action amends. It's having my family over for dinner. It's keeping commitments, not canceling. Showing up for work. Doing my work and not, you know, messing around for 8 hours. It's actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Being kind to people at my work and not snarling at them. Keeping commitments with my daughter, all my friends. My whole life has changed. If this program of action really works. That's when I started seeing the change, is at step nine. They have the step nine promises were read this morning, and they do come true. And one of them this morning I heard was peace of mind. And I have to say that that's probably the greatest gift that I have today, is peace of mind. Because the 15 years that I had in the fellowship, and I say the fellowship because the program, I always used to say, yeah, I've been in the program for 15 years. The program is actually the 12 steps. Well, I was never working my 12 steps. I was in the fellowship, going to meetings, going out and playing pool, going for coffees, gossiping about other members, you know. I'd leave a meeting and I'd be like, oh, that speaker really sucked. God, I don't even think I can go back there again, you know. It was just nastiness all around. Really, really bad. And I'm okay if you guys leave here and say that about me. It's okay, because it's how I feel, right? But, yeah. So, I move on to step 10. And step 10 for me is, it's not at the end of the day, it's all day long. And it's a personal inventory. Where have I been selfish, self-centered, and afraid? Those are my main character defects. And as soon as something crops up, like on Friday, Friday was a rough day for me. Oh my gosh. So I get in, and I'm already negative, and I'm like, oh, this place, I work with this other girl, and we're just in this little box of an office, and I'm like, oh, you know, I just can't stand working here with all my credentials. I belong somewhere else. And it starts, eh? And I recognize, like within, I guess it was 10 minutes, I said, Lori, I'm really sorry that I'm, you know, putting my negative attitude on you. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with what's been going on at the hospital lately. You know, and it's humbling. And she just said, Darlene, it's okay, I understand. You know, and then we moved on. We can start our day over at any point. So my amends are made very quickly. And step 11 for me is on page 86. So it's prayer and meditation. As soon as my feet hit the floor, before they hit the floor, I'm saying, God, please direct my thinking. Because my thinking on my own is really nasty. It's very, very selfish. So those are the first words that come out of my mind, and I pray and I meditate on that. And what can I bring to the world today? So before I go to bed, there's on page 86, you'll see 9 questions. And again, you know, it's reviewing your day, where have I been selfish, self-centered, and afraid, but it goes into a little more detail than that. And it's something that I have to do every day. It's just, I'm constantly checking things. So step 12, helping others. I remember, I love helping other people. I love being a part of AA today. Those 15 years of sobriety that I had, I'm a personal trainer, right? So I have the clients, and they don't follow my direction. Darlene, I've actually gained 5 pounds. Well, are you following the instructions that I gave you, like the nutrition and like working out 3 times a week? Yeah, and it's a total lie, because if they were following it, no, they wouldn't be gaining 5 pounds. So sponsorship to me is kind of the same, and it's frustrating, right? So I remember those 15 years, I did sponsor a few people, and I was so frustrated, and I just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. They were such frustrating alcoholics. And today I love helping other people. My sponsor, I'm sure, is very frustrated with me at times. I go on, you know, little rants, and she'll tell me, like the other night, she told me to stop it. I was a little offended. So, helping others is the greatest gift of all. And I love this fellowship. I love the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I thank Dr. Bob and Bill, you know, for giving us the gift of a new life. Today is very different for me. I have peace in my heart. I am happy most days. I'm productive. I have great relationships today, true relationships with depth. Very loving people in my life. I have my family back, and I feel like the world is my oyster today. You know, I can achieve anything I set my heart on, just as long as I remove that fear, you know. So I'm going to close it up there, and thank you everybody for my recovery today, and thank you Christine and Ron.
So much, Darlene. I mean, truly, your message is about the steps and how the steps 1 to 12 can change our life. And I'm so proud of you. And to thank the speaker, I've asked Bob.
Good morning. My name's Bob. I'm a bulimic and an alcoholic.
Hi, Bob.
So I know what you're talking about when you talk about food. A couple of things that came out of it. One of the things reminded me about a song by Badu, which says, "We can only help you. We can only do so much for you if you don't love yourself." And I think one of the things that came out is that until you could love yourself, you had trouble relating to others. You had trouble being able to help other people in a way that was fruitful for you, and you didn't end up being constantly frustrated. One of the other things that came out for me was that we can't do it by ourselves. We can do a lot on our own, but at some point, healing comes through community. And as one of my favorite authors says, We need to find a community in which there is gratitude and compassion. And for me, in AA, I found gratitude and compassion. And gratitude gives birth to happiness, and compassion gives birth to forgiveness. And I found these in AA. And, you know, there are going to be rough spots in the road. I spoke last week and, you know, I said I was in a funk. But, and you know, I'm 12 years in and 10 years in my other fellowship, and all of a sudden things seem to fall apart. But we need to stay closer to our higher power. For me, that's where I looked, as you did for so long, for the solutions from outside. Work, food, alcohol, and finally I was driven to find the solution. And as you pointed out, the solution is within, and it takes a long time sometimes to find that. Thanks very, very much.
And in this group, like many others, we have the CHIP system. And today, to explain how it works, Marie is going to do the CHIPs.